Hey friend, welcome to Spill It with Rios. Whether it is morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the world listening in, we are all about keeping it real. My name is Narissa, and I'm so excited that you are here. I want to take you on this journey where we sit down to talk about tips on how to achieve your goals while living in the moment and taking those tools to strive forward. So without further ado, let's dive right into it.
Hi, you guys. I am so excited that you are listening to this episode wherever you are in the world today. Here we are, Spill It with Rios, and this is episode 18. Can you believe it? I am so blessed and just humbled to continue on this journey with you guys. And today's episode is very raw, and I'm excited for you guys to listen to this because this person has not only been an inspiration to me since the beginning of this journey, she's been an inspiration to me during life. And this is my conversation with my cousin Brittany. She's a photographer, entrepreneur, originally born and raised from upstate New York, who I'll say, like, in the past couple of years she's been living in North Carolina. And I really love this conversation with my cousin because you get to hear literally how we normally would talk to each other. So whatever you guys hear is literally how, for the most part, how we talk to each other in real life. So we get a little deep on this one, guys. So I'm excited for you guys to listen to this. And without further ado, let's get into it.
All right. Hello. Oh, yes. Hi. Yes, Wendelin. Hi. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone listening. This is Narissa, but as many of my listeners know how informal I get to be, and I'm honored that I finally get to interview someone very special, not only to me, and I'm trying to be biased because we're family.
We're biased. Just kidding.
She's been someone who, behind the scenes, I haven't told her this, so it's gonna catch her by surprise. That she is one of the biggest reasons why I started this podcast. She is one of the inspirations I started this podcast. I took us long enough to get this interview in, but I want to introduce you guys to the founder of Brittany Lynn Photography, LLC officially, Brittany Allwire, who's also, side note guys, my cousin. So hi,
I'm so excited. We finally found some time to get together.
I feel like I don't even want to apologize at this point because I'm just like, this, guys, just so you know, for those listening in, this is how we are.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, like, being like, when I say I'm going to be transparent and real with you guys, this is us. This is us. And I think
this is us in law form.
This has been us for years.
Yeah. I think we like always like cross schedules and we're like, no, let's do a different day.
Yeah. So it's like, you know what? I'm horrible with time. So I just had to like, you know what? Whether Wendelin's awake or asleep, we're gonna make this work because I need to interview you. I will say, for those that don't follow me on social media and don't follow Brittany, and for those who do not know who you are, if you please introduce yourself, your journey, like what you currently do for a living.
Yes. So right now I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. We moved here about in 2020. So originally I had my photography business in upstate New York where it snows like crazy. And I'm so freaking happy that I'm not there anymore. But that's where my photography journey started. I actually started in charging, I would say, in 2018. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of moved, obviously, in 2020. We moved to Charlotte, to a new city. It was really, really hard to honestly kind of restart my business in a new city because I didn't really know anybody.
Right.
But that's where, a lot.
All right, so you were upstate New York and then moved to North Carolina with Omar, right? With Omar and Maya.
Yes, Omar and Maya is my fur child. She's really like, she has a personality. She's a human. I'm convinced. But so yeah, in 2020, we moved here. I honestly didn't do photography for like that full first year. We were just kind of getting settled in. I'm just trying to make new friends, network with other photographers to kind of get out there. Mm-hmm. It was honestly really stressful, and I almost quit. I was just kind of going to throw up the towel and be like, okay, let me just do this as a hobby, because I was working at a marketing firm when I first moved down here. So I was like, well, maybe I should focus on that and just growing in the corporate world again. And then I was like, no, the 9-to-5 is not for me. So I kind of just started practicing at home again. I did a couple free shoots, and then that's kind of how I got the ball rolling. I got referrals after I did some free shoots. And then I hired a mentor as well. So that really helped improve from there. But that's kind of where my journey's at so far.
That's awesome. And I kind of like segues into my next question, which is like, what drew you to start photography? I know, and how did that come to fruition? Like I said, we've talked about your photography journey, even when you lived in New York. On the in-depth, like what drew you to say like, I'm going to start. So tell about like your initial thoughts and then how you got to that point to say like, I'm going to do it.
So I actually had to like rethink about how I got into photography or what made me start it, because I kind of dug a little deeper and I feel like I found the reasoning why I started it. Mm-hmm. So there was always this one photographer that in my high school, and she was like one of my best friend's cousin's mom. And she used to do like all the sports photography in our high school, and any other like, I don't know if she just did sports. I think she did some of our graduation photos too. Mm-hmm. And I just loved that, like, I loved her energy and that she liked to be behind the camera making people like laugh and smile. And she just felt like she like loved her job. So I was like, wow, like I really want to be a photographer. Let's try and like get into this. And then I was the person in my friend group who always wanted to like take photos, like whatever stupid thing we were doing that night. We could have been going to Walmart and I'd be like, let's take photos like in Walmart. And all those like kind of things. So in high school initially, well, early high school, probably like freshman year, it kind of started. And then I realized in college that I wanted to pursue it even more. So I actually majored in photography in college for, I think it was a year and a half. And then after that, I kind of hated all of my art classes. Besides my photography class, like the drawing classes, I can't draw. Like I don't know what it is, but I can't draw. So I ended up switching my major in college to business because I wanted to start my own business. So I was like, this will probably help in the future. And then I wanted to minor in photography. But I'm pretty sure you know, because if you're a business major, you don't have time to minor in anything. So I didn't really get to work on it as much as I wanted to after switching majors. But after that, I just kind of realized, like, I started in film photography, which I loved. It was just very expensive and a lot of work versus, like, the digital photography. But I just kind of encouraged myself, like, okay, just keep going. If you really like it, you can just start doing more, you know, professional photos for friends, family, and then kind of work your way up from there. So after college, I kept practicing, kept doing it more. And then, you know, my friends trusted me enough, surprisingly, to let me take photos for them. And my first friend, shout out to Anna, she was doing like a musical and she needed like new headshots. And I remember she was like my first paying client. So I did it like in my house, in one of my spare rooms, my empty bedroom. And that's kind of honestly where like it started, and her feedback, and remind you, they weren't that great at the time, but I've grown since then. So very proud. But yeah, that's just kind of how I knew that I wanted to do it more. And then here I am.
Ooh, that's awesome. Cause
yeah, that was a long-winded. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I love it. It's kind of more like, like I said, it's, I guess my follow-up to that actually, and I didn't even write this. I love this. I love, like, mind you, like, I'm going to wing it.
Yeah, right. Same, I know.
So it's like, I guess my follow-up to that is, like, what made you at the time wanted to do the traditional route? Now, this has been, like, a common theme, like, throughout my journey with the podcast. Like, what made you want to do the traditional route? Like, and then realize, like, I want to do photography. I don't, like, forget the traditional route. Because some people really do like the traditional route versus,
like, the 9-to-5.
The 9-to-5, that it works for them. But, like, others who are scared to... They want to do their hobby, but really it's something they really want to do. How was that like for you, like, versus, like, doing the traditional?
Yeah. So, I mean, I worked at a couple places in New York, and I just didn't enjoy doing anything. Like, I was a waitress for a while. I would kind of bounce from different restaurants. And although I love, like, you know, being in front of people and just meeting new people and talking to them, I just didn't. And then I also had, like, corporate jobs that were I worked at Spectrum, but I just knew that none of those jobs, no matter what I did, like, made me motivated to want to, like, move up in the company or move into, like, a leadership position. I used to want to be that person, like, I'm going to be in a suit, like a woman's suit and, like, a briefcase and, like, fly everywhere for meetings. But then I was like, that's not me. Like, I want to fly somewhere for meetings for my own business. And, like, you know, I want to be my own CEO. So that's kind of, I feel like, how I realized that the corporate world wasn't for me. And that's why I started to pursue, like, my business even more, so I could get to that point where I don't have to work for anybody else. I want to work for myself.
I love it. I love it. I know that we mentioned in the beginning, I think we mentioned it many times during the when we first started the interview, that Brittany and I are cousins on our mom's side. So my mom and her mom are sisters. Yes. And I don't know how transparent we're going to get, but, like, Britt, like I said, like, you can be as open as and transparent as you want for this part. And it's actually Brittany herself is in a blended family. So for those that know, I'm a blended family because I'm a stepmom to I'm a stepmom to my 3 kids. Mm-hmm. And I have Wendell, so I have 4. I like to say I have 4 kids. Mm-hmm. And then you, like, Britt, you're a bonus mom. I love it. And then Britt, you yourself, I know, are in a, like, you're in a blended family, but more of on the sibling perspective. So my question is more, how much of an impact as a sibling, because you're, like, you're the older sister, but you're also a baby sister.
Yes.
How much of an impact has it been for you from, like, then when you first entered into a blended family up until now, like, in your, as an entrepreneur in your business, as a photographer, like, how much of an impact has that been for you?
Huge. And, like, when I say huge, like, my siblings, I know they look up to me, so it's very important to me to show them and be a role model that, you know, if you work really hard, no matter, you know, what you're doing or how much money you have or don't have, really, that you can really do anything that you work hard for. Like, I mean, growing up, my dad grounding me all the time helped probably too, because anytime, shout out dad. Anytime I would get, like, a low grade, even if it was, like, below, like, an 80, I would be grounded because he would expect more, you know, from us and want more. So although I hated him then, I guess I could thank him now for my work ethic. But no, it's really important to me to know that they can look up to me and know that they can see that there's more out there and you can work for more and what you actually want to do versus just working in the, you know, 9-to-5 corporate job, if that's not the route you want to go. So growing up, I always tried to be, whether, you know, I was still living in the house with them, I wanted to make sure they see, like, you know, me doing good in school means that they should be also, you know, following footsteps and do well, and that they can ask me for help if they need to, or come to me, you know, if they need to talk about anything, and just be a support for them, really. But they're also a support for me. So
I love it. And shout out to all the sibs. And that, and then I will say, because I know Ashley, who's your older sister, is also my biologically, I'm going to say, like, I'm going to, if you want to be technical, I hate technicality, but Ashley, for the, my listeners, Ashley and Britt are both my cousins. But if I want to, I don't even know if step cousins at the point, because I know your siblings. But Brittany and Ashley also have younger siblings who are, I will still say, adorable, because I still think they're little ones to me.
They're all grown up. Jenna's going to be 18 tomorrow. It's crazy.
Stop.
We're old. We're so old. Oh my God.
But it's funny. It's amazing how, like, you guys are, they're able to support you and you're able to support them, just giving that bounce off that support. So it's for how important is support in a blended family? Like, whether it is from experience or observation, how important is it to have support from either your, from either like your biological family, your step blended family, or even at this point, because I know, like, I've been saying this lately, even from your chosen family, like family's not just blood, and right. There are people there that, like, in your blood family, like, that will support you, but there are people, like I said, in your blended family, it's just like, mm-hmm. like my one kid will say, like, half blood. I'm like, I'm not a vampire.
Right.
Half blood. And then there's your chosen family. So how important is that support from your perspective, like, in a blended family and chosen family kind of thing?
I think it's really, really important, to be honest. But I've also learned that you can't really stress about anybody's supporting you as much as you want. Obviously, your closest family and your closest friends to be your number one supporters. Sometimes they can be, you know, they won't support you at all. People that you barely even know will support you more than them. So I used to stress out about, you know, having my biological family or whatever you want to call it, and then, you know, my blood family to support me. But it's just like, it's important to me for them. It makes you feel good for family to support you in general. But sometimes they, I guess, don't know how to support you also. So I'm personally working on that as a friend and family member also. So it's just like, it is really important for me to have support from family. But as long as I know that they know I'm doing my best, if that makes sense, and I know that they're doing their best to support me as well, then that's really all that I care about to this point. But I used to stress out about it a lot. But it is something that is important to me, obviously.
Yeah, and I know, I can speak it for myself too. It is stressful. I agree. Obviously, we both will see it in different perspectives, because it's, for you, Britt, it was basically your whole life. Mm-hmm. Versus on my end, it's kind of more like, I chose to be a part, like, from, I made the decision, like, I want to, like, Fernando's kids as my own, and they are, like, I met them when they were young.
Yeah. Right.
But I love hearing, like, just the support, and it's really important, because it's not only just for the, I guess, foundation of the family, and not only for yourself, also for the family, but also it does help mentally, like, mental health, mental and emotional health, because it affects every single player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, I know, like, I keep repeating this, like, guys, you have no idea how transparent Brittany and I are. I'm behind the scenes. Yeah.
Always.
But
about everything.
And I think, like, that's what, like, we want to, like, we're emphasizing, especially, like, with this kind of stuff, is it's normal to feel. It's normal to stress here and there, but, like, you should never stop.
Yeah. Right. Don't stop because you're not getting the support that you really want from your closest, you know, family or friends, because there's people out there cheering you on behind the scenes and you don't even know. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be their inspiration and supporter. Just like, I got a message, I think it was yesterday or the day before, from another photographer, like, and she was telling me how I inspire her. And I was just like, wow, like, my family doesn't really even tell me this kind of stuff. So it's just like, it's not that I'm, like, hating on my family, but
no, I know. It's like that five languages of love, words of affirmation. That's love, like, that's put, like, a love language used in, like, on a different, like, you know, different concept.
Right. So, exactly.
Like, just hearing it and seeing, like, oh, I am doing something for somebody, even if I don't know them. It's like, support in general is, like,
It's really important.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, I guess you could like see the fact that you might not want to pursue doing what you're doing because you're like, oh, I'm not really impacting anything. Mm-hmm. Why am I? It's all about purpose, I feel like, in a way.
Yes.
That makes sense.
For that. Yes.
That's nice. If you see this video. So good.
Yeah, it is purpose, and it's one of those, like, when you have that purpose and someone has a purpose, for anyone that just feels like they're just stuck, I just feel like it's one of those where you want to be unapologetically yourself. And I feel like that's been the theme lately for so many, I will say particularly Brit people our age, that now, like, as we grow up, it's like we want to do that 9 to 5 and we do like it. But at the same time, there's something more, and we either want to do one or the other, or the rare, like, I will say myself, I want to do both, and I don't know where to go. So it's like, it's having, like, you like back to like, no, having that purpose and that support and continually unapologetically beating yourself. It's a lot for one person, but when you have that strong foundation, it works wonders, and you just don't realize until like you see it yourself from somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Or hearing it from somebody else, right? Yeah.
Right. Or just hearing other people's stories and kind of where they came from and where, you know, you can go, because now I feel like with all this social media, the definition of success varies for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Like, you think when you have nice cars and all these nice things that you're successful, but really it's like when you're happy, like with yourself and what you're doing in life and your purpose, then I feel like people are more genuinely happy that way versus all these like materialistic things and just kind of showing off on social media, which is kind of sad. And I feel bad for the younger millennials, but I just feel like it's really important to have support, because mentally, it's, I think that's what you mentioned is like the really main thing, because again, it's just like the more foundation you have, the more you're going to step into that purpose that you want to do.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love these talks. I feel like we're just in a phone conversation or a FaceTime call.
That's our regular call.
So in the last year, like, I feel like there were, this 2022 was like the year of realizations, I feel, for me at least. Realizations that just occurred. Like, I know I actually reached out to you about about mentorships. I know even before we even talked about this interview, we've talked about like how mentorships and being around people that are like-minded. I know I've asked, like, I went to you straight right away. I'm like, hey, what'd you do with this? Because I wanted to change my game plan. Mm-hmm. And to me, I know how crucial it was for you to have a mentor, and how much of a game changer, I know how much of a game changer it was, and it's still continuing to be. So what do you think is something you learned during this, I'll say, like, during that, like, I guess, transition time to get to where you are, like, right now? Like, how much of a game changer was that for you?
Oh, big, huge. Like, I can't even tell you how huge it was. I mean, I personally never really, like, not believed in, but I was, to be honest, scared to invest, like, in a mentor, because everything's so, like, anything that you question in your head, you're scared of, obviously. Mm-hmm. And mentorship is, like, it's a really big investment. So you're like, okay, if I spend thousands of dollars and then I don't get anything out of it, my business stays stagnant, I don't really, I don't progress, I don't grow. It's scary to think about, oh my God, I'm going to drop like $3,000 and not get anything out of it. But I took the leap, and shout out to Kate. I love her. She's still my mentor. But she just has taught me so much. And by the first, we had a Zoom call before I even started the mentorship, and just the connection that we had, and we're very, very similar. So that was like one thing that I knew. I was like, okay, she knows where I'm coming from. She came from where I'm coming from, like in business perspective. And she started out how I'm starting out. So she knows the path, you know, where to lead, where I want to go. So yeah, I would say do not be scared to invest. Just make sure that, you know, you do a lot of research, you do Zoom calls with a mentor to make sure you're going to connect with them and understand what their plan is for you, and that they want to see you grow and succeed as much as you want to yourself. And then I can't stress that enough, honestly.
Yeah, I know. It's you're doing it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that a lot of people, I guess I have to stress it, because I've been noticing it, like a lot of people our age and our age group haven't been doing lately. And I just feel like whether you're a parent, whether you're a fur parent, whether you're a step parent, I just feel, or whether you're just trying to find yourself in life, like single and you're trying to find your way in life, time and investing time for ourselves is not the norm. Nor is it a conversation that is the normalized, which I think is crazy.
Yeah, no, it should honestly be a huge topic, because from like age 20, I don't know if I want to say 27 or 28. I think I want to say 27 to like maybe 31, 32. It's like that. Okay, what am I doing with my life?
Mm-hmm.
What do I want to see myself doing, you know, in the next 3-4 years? Do I want kids, or do I want to pursue a different goal or different career path? It's just that timeline from like 27 to 31, I feel like is nobody talks about, but I feel like everyone should, because we're all out here trying to make shit work and like try to figure out our lives. So I feel that support of being more open about like those ages and the stages that we're in might like help other people, like we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
About it, or vulnerable about it, I guess.
Yeah. So, it's a very simple question, but I don't know how, because I always get emotional when I ask this question, because I'm very sentimental. So,
me Britt, too, so. What are you going to ask?
Who inspires you?
Oh, God. A lot of people. I know my number ones are definitely my sister, Ashley. Love you, sis. She is like my number one inspiration. I can't even tell you the bumps in the road that she has gone through and what she's achieved to this day. It just inspires me so much. And I feel like she barely even sleeps sometimes, and I don't know how she can function. But we have gone through so much in our life together, whether it was, you know, growing up, she would always push me to continue. Even like, I remember when she moved out at 18 and I just cried. Like, I think every day, because I was like, felt like I didn't have my sister anymore and the person that I felt safe with the most. So, but now she lives in Texas and she, you know, she has all these degrees and going for another degree, and she just keeps going no matter what. And things, you know, have happened. And
she's a warrior.
She just keeps going. She's such like a soldier and a warrior. It's insane. So she's definitely my number one. You are one of my inspirations also.
Wait, what?
Really inspire me all the time. You like have gone through so much, and I know that we both know about our families are not always the best to deal with, but we've gone through so much. We were separated, you know, in the beginning when we were growing up, which is still makes me sad. Can't cry. I'm not gonna cry. Let's skip this part. But I am so proud of like where you've come from, and like the fact that you went for, no matter what everyone thought, you literally went for what you wanted. You went for, you know, being in a blended family and marrying somebody that you really, really love. And then now you're starting like something you really wanted to do. So you're one of my inspirations for sure.
Thanks, Britt.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm good.
Pull it together. But I would say my last one, well, not my last one. I have a lot, but my dad and my grandma, they are soldiers also. My dad, obviously, I have my dad's work ethic. He never stops till this day, works till God over till like 5 a.m. in the morning and doesn't know how to rest. It's probably where my sister got it from too.
I will say, Uncle Jeff, if you're listening, you are literally the biggest cheerleader. I feel like some, I don't know, Britt, if you sometimes see comments whenever you post stuff for your business, but Uncle Jeff, like your dad, put, like writes comments. And I remember the first reviews he posted, I was like, yo, listen, it's like my dad cheering me on. Like I see it in social media. So we're in the social media era.
Right. I know. Right. Exactly. And he shared my post the other day with my like new branding shot. And I was like, oh my God, dad, thank you. Well, I used to overthink that kind of stuff. Like we were talking earlier, like, you know, I didn't feel as supported, but I feel like sometimes they just don't know how to support you. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to teach them, like, can you share my post, especially with social media, with the older, you know, not older, sorry, dad.
No, my parents do. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't know how to Gen Xers. Works. I will say the Gen Xers. Yeah. We're the millennials.
So it's just like, can you share my post for me so people can see it and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But no, yeah, him and my grandma, they are troopers. I love them so much. And I honestly probably wouldn't have worked as hard if he didn't punish me as much as he did growing up. Hated him then, love him now, but it's fine. So yeah, but who are your inspirations?
Mine? Ooh. Yes.
I know, right?
I don't believe in number ones. So
right, yeah. It's just like the handful of people you look up to the most.
One is my parents. The holes they had to, and the they had to go through individually coming here from the Philippines, and they both were raised differently. So mom's raised from the city, dad's raised from, I guess they'll say the rant, like I don't know how to say it, in the province, I'll say.
Yeah.
And it's just that mindset, because I loved how I was raised, because it was very different versus my friends. I don't know. It was just, and the fact that it wasn't normalized on how they raised me, I think that's the beauty of how I'm raising Wendolyn. It's like
right.
modernized, but at the same time, I don't want to lose that. So she knows, like, this is how my mom was raised, kind of thing. Yeah. But my parents definitely have been like the biggest. We have had our ups and downs too. But I think it's just because of that, as the oldest and the only girl. I think it's just that peer. It's like it's just that little that pressure, that unrecognized pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, because I don't think it was like meant to happen that way. But I guess genetically or something like that. I don't know what the word is. It ended up like that.
Right.
Another is actually you and Ashley have inspired me, because I will say, I have to like restart this soon because this whole Zoom thing is crazy. Because I fight.
Oh, that's so crazy. 5 minutes.
I know. But you and Ash, even though like I don't think I've ever spoke up about how much of the whole. Oh, this is gonna make me cry. I don't think I've only told one person how much of the separation of you and Ash leaving. Oh my God, Britt.
I know, don't.
How much that took a toll on me, because yeah, we were young, but like. And we fought a lot when we were younger. I don't know if you remember. Like, you took my toys and I hated sharing.
I feel like I do a little bit.
I hear all these stories from the family that we did not get along when we were younger. Like, we hated each other. Clearly, from people that hear this, like, how are they?
That's not true family if you don't steal each other's dolls, so it's fine.
But I was like, I looked up to Ashley. I didn't have an older sister. I didn't have... But it was one of those where it's like, when you guys left, I was in the state where it's like, I don't understand this shit. Yeah. Why is this happening? And I'm the type of person that where my parents know, if I don't have an answer, I go nuts. Which leads me to the next person that inspires me. The only person that I've ever told how I felt about it is my now husband, Fernando. And I don't think I could describe how much emotionally he's helped me through, like, because I never express how I feel. And I think he was the first person to guide me through, like, when you guys left, when I was dealing with stuff with my parents, when dealing, like, going into a blended family, going for what I want to do for me. Like, I almost didn't want to be a Zumba instructor.
Right.
But I almost didn't do it. And here I am 7 years later teaching.
Right. Exactly.
And then here I am in this podcast expressing. And it's, I don't think, like, without him, you, Ash, my parents, I don't think I'd be doing what I'm doing right now.
It's the support.
About. And I will say, the last person, I will say it to this day, before I restart the Zooms.
2 minutes.
It's Noah. And I feel like people, for those that don't know Noah, he is our soon to be 13-year-old cousin.
Oh my God.
Little cousin.
We are old.
He's gonna be a teenager. And shout out to Aunt Jenny, because she is such a warrior for them. She inspires me too, but, like, Noah does inspire me a lot in the sense, because he is nonverbal, and I kind of want to, like, kind of leave it at that, but, like, he is the type of person that will just touch your life in such a way that is indescribable, and it's just, he'll just melt your heart. And I feel like, because I think it's also because we share a birthday, that, like, I just feel so connected to him too. And
Oh, that's so cute. Yes.
Oh, I love Zoom.
It's the best.
Oh, we got a little emotional there.
I know. It's okay. It's raw. It helps other people, like, you know, open up and not be scared to talk about things.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like. Oof. God, where did we leave off? I forgot.
Yeah, we just finished Who Inspires Us.
Oh, yeah.
Which will, I kind of want to segue into I do want to have this conversation. I'm trying to normalize criticism. I feel like how people handle criticism takes you a long way, because we all do, we can't handle it.
Yeah.
That's the truth. So right. I guess I kind of want to ask you, like, what is your typical response to criticism, especially being in a blended family? And what is, like, a takeaway or multiple takeaways that you want to share to the listeners, especially if they are thinking about going the entrepreneurial route but feel stuck due to either setbacks or blended family setbacks?
So criticism, I used to honestly take very harshly, because obviously when you think of criticism and somebody critiquing you personally or your work or the way that you're doing something, you just take it as, like, they're insulting you, or I can't even think of the word. They're insulting you, or just not, like, supporting you, or think you're stupid, anything like that. I used to take it that way. But now the way that I handle criticism is just taking a step back and seeing why they chose to, say what they did, or, you know, other, like, my coach, not that she, like, criticizes my work, but she'll tell me how I could maybe approach something differently for a better outcome. So it's kind of like, now I take criticism as feedback, and no matter what, just try to take it as, like, positive feedback. Obviously you probably get the hint if somebody's just trying to really personally criticize you, and for those people, just ignore them. But for those who, obviously, their opinions matter to you, I just say, look at the criticism in a positive way, just kind of take what they're saying and maybe, apply that, and you might see a change. Like, in my business, there was some things I was doing that weren't working, whether it was, you know, the certain way I was marketing or reaching out to guests, or even the way that I was typing my emails to follow up with them. Just getting feedback on that from my coach really helped me apply, you know, what she knows worked, and then what I kind of, you find your own groove on what will work for you too. So just take it in a positive way from people that you obviously value their opinions, if that makes sense.
It does. It really does. And I think that's it's a really good way of putting it, because if it's people that don't matter in your life, you should just ignore. It's criticism is a criticism. It's their opinion. But if it's someone that like cares about what you're doing, it's, you want to take their criticism as, okay, they want me to succeed.
Right.
They are helping me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just like, okay, you're just, I don't know, putting, like, sometimes it feels like other people are putting their insecurities on you. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I don't know mm-hmm. if that makes sense. But for like, if I get feedback from my sister or my mentor or my dad or, you know, whatever, it's like, oh, okay, why do you think that? And then you want more because you're like, how can I grow from this? And, you know, why are they telling me
right.
this thing?
I guess this. When did you feel that all the decisions that you made up to present day were in alignment with your photography business in particular? Because I know photography has been a huge passion of yours since we were in high school.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So when did you feel that all your decisions, regardless how easy or hard they were, how did you know they were in alignment with what you wanted to do?
Just the outcome of everything. Honestly, like when I feel like moving here was, I was meant to move to Charlotte. I feel like I was meant to hire my coach and my mentor for my business. And I just feel like I'm meant to have all of my clients that I currently have, because now there are a lot of reoccurring clients or repeat clients. And they not only come back to me for multiple sessions, but they also refer me to their friends and family too. So it's like, all the decisions, even from moving out of Syracuse, New York, from here, have all aligned for me to get me to where I am now. And I wouldn't have thought that, but looking back, you're like, okay, wow, this, I said yes to this decision for this to happen. And it just goes in like that circle, I guess you could say.
I like that. I like that a lot, actually. I guess I have two more because we got like this is such a, guys, we're getting, we're
this is raw. A good one.
Yeah, I know, we are raw, so
I can't wait to hear this.
Well, it's gonna be titled raw because I normally try not to, I will say hide, I don't normally edit my episodes mm-hmm. because I like, and I think it's like one of those where like you and I talk about, I think this was off podcast conversation. This is who we are. This is who Brittany is. This is who Nerissa is. And this is how right. we talk. So it's like, I don't want to be formal. It just feels weird to me. Like if I know who you are, or I know who I'm interviewing, or even if I don't know who I'm interviewing, like I said before, you want to be unapologetically yourself. And this is like, mm-hmm. this is what the foundation of this podcast is, and that's why I want, like, for anyone like listening
mm-hmm.
but I do want to ask Bridget with these last two questions. The second to the last is, what is your why?
My why?
Your why?
That's a hard one. Well, not really, but my why, I feel like, is for my future kids to show not only my siblings, because they are also the reasons why I do what I do, and to show them that anything is possible. But for my future kids, I want to be the inspiration to them. And I also don't want my kids to kind of grow up in certain circumstances that I grew up in. So I want to make sure that I am building a foundation and really stepping into my purpose, so I can show them that you don't have to just settle for the corporate world, or you don't have to settle for just any ordinary life. I'm trying to do like all the things while still trying to live my life too. And do things like travel. Growing up, I did not think I would travel to as many places as I already have because, you know, we didn't grow up with money. We never traveled or barely ate out to eat. So like McDonald's was like a high night out when we ate out to eat growing up. And when like we had a McDonald's, like it's like, wow, we're like eating good. Not really, but so that's my why, I think, is to make sure I'm living in my truth, I guess you could say, and you know, building a foundation for my future kids.
Yay. And then to the person that is listening in on this podcast, especially this particular episode, because like I said, we were raw on this one. Mm-hmm. And if for someone that feels connected with our conversation or with you, Britt, what is something that you would say or something like a takeaway to someone that is unsure regarding like next steps in their careers or goals? Like how would they know what they are doing in their life is aligned for them?
Mm-hmm. I would say, don't be scared to invest. Like I said earlier, anything that you feel is going to help you progress or you're nervous about something, you might be nervous about it because you know it's something that you should do or should step into doing. And it's going to be scary at first. A lot of things are scary for the first time, but go for it. If you have that feeling, and I feel like you know too, like you just know that it's going to be a good decision. Always go for it and don't be scared of getting opinions from others or worrying about getting opinions from other people. Just always trust yourself, I guess you could say. Always trust yourself and don't let the opinions of others get you to go backwards, if that makes sense.
It does. I love it. Thank you, Britt, for this interview. We finally got to do it. Oh my god, this was such a good conversation.
I'm so happy
and I'm so excited for the listeners to listen to this, because this was juicy, to be honest with you. I loved it.
Yeah,
I love this so much.
I feel like we could go on for like 3 hours, but
I know.
We can. We talk about so much. Yeah, we could talk about so many things and they'd be like, okay,
you guys are done.
Yeah, cut off.
Thank you again. You mean so much to me, Britt. Thank you so much for it's an honor to interview you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So proud of you, and I'll interview anytime. So let me know. Unless your listeners are like annoyed with me or with us.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a friend or share the episode on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for getting the message out. I'm humbled and grateful to be on this journey with you. So until next time, I'll talk to you again soon.